Meringue.
Dusty Bun?
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars. Fly a fantasy.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Coming up 1 hour from now, we'll be talking about our picks, the NFL picks for week four of the National Football League, coming in hot at 2 o'clock.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, stinky lines across the board.
They're not good.
Yeah, not great, Bob. Not great, Bob. And big favorites have been even worse.
Yeah.
They've been really bad this year. We'll dive into that coming up at the top of next hour. We're staying on the web coming up at 1:30 today. Where we start this second hour is, I was surprised, to say the least, when I saw this pop up. It came to us from the Sports Illustrated Oregon Ducks, SI, Oregon Ducks on SI. I think Bree Amaranthus, doesn't she run that?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Pro Football Focus has Bryce Betcher as the top graded linebacker in the country after 4 weeks of playing college football. He has been graded out through the first three games at 89.5 in their player impact on the game rankings. So this goes on to not just because Pro Football Focus, their rankings, by the way, they're very misleading because they don't know. They're not taking into account full scheme what guys are actually being asked to do in each certain instance. They just grade based on what they believe the assignment is, the impact that you're making on the game. Betcher is number one in the country, though. And this is a guy that was seen as a depth and rotational player throughout his entire career at Oregon, being a walk-on guy who earned his right. And he has turned into one of the best impact players on this entire defense. Hell, on the entire football team for Oregon, offensive or defensively, with the amount of plays that he's made this season.
We were looking at these, I want to say last week, and I was like, hey, Betcher's up here on this list, because we were kind of going through the different rankings of defensive players in the old Pac-12 is kind of a joke. And Betcher being up there was a shock, but not really, because of what you've seen from him and kind of what we saw from him last year. Him being good isn't surprising. Him being this good is surprising.
I think a lot of it is stylistically the teams that they've seen in the first three games
kind
as well.
Kind of funnels things towards his style of play.
Yeah, it is even like a run-heavy team, Big Ten style. That plays more into a guy like Justin Jacobs, who the Iowa transfer, and Jeffrey Bossa being dinged up has also added more snaps for Bryce Betcher as well. But in that rotation, when you're playing down that downhill style, it does favor those guys being in more than Betcher, because he is good in coverage. He is an athlete. I mean, hell, he's a Gold Glove winner as an outfielder for the Oregon baseball team. But with and when you look at stylistically what Idaho, Boise State, and Oregon State, although Oregon State and Boise State are both run-first teams, stylistically, their offenses fit having Betcher in more than they do having your run pluggers in. But he's been really good at both. I mean, hell, the first two plays of the Oregon State game kind of signify exactly why Betcher is a good fit stylistically against Oregon State, and that he almost intercepted the very first pass of the game and then knocked down the second pass of the game, right?
He's one of those. It's kind of funny. I was having this discussion with somebody the other day about tweeners in the NBA, and we actually started talking about tweeners in the NFL. What used to be kind of a cursed phrase is actually kind of a celebrated thing now because of the diversity of the game, the style, stylistically, how different certain teams can play.
Yeah.
And that's true in the NBA, the NFL, college football. Everybody says, you know, everybody does the same stuff. Sure, but everybody does it with a different flavor. Some use garlic, some use a little pepper, some will use a little paprika. And the ability to have somebody who can kind of go through all of that, because Boettcher's not your, you know, throwback in the middle or even on the edge linebacker, but he's also not somebody who is foreign in space. Yeah. So he's somebody you saw last year come off the edge in blitzes and be disrupted in the backfield. Like if you have him in a run gap, you're not afraid of him getting absolutely blown up and blown off the ball by a lineman on a pull or something along those lines. And if he's in space, you trust that he can make a play.
Which puts him in a really interesting position because he's a tweener. I mean, this is a guy who was a 13th round draft pick by the Houston Astros mm-hmm. this past summer in the Major League Baseball draft, and now he's coming in playing at Oregon and playing at such an incredibly high level that you sit there
look at some NFL tape.
But the idea, though, is where does he play mm-hmm. in the NFL? Because he's 6'2", 225 yeah. is what he's listed at. I would venture to guess he is probably 225, probably about like program height. He's probably like 6'1".
Sure.
Ish.
We've seen so many of those safeties though that have gone to those jack and kind of,
it would have to be a specific yes. position mm-hmm. in a specific system.
What was the Simmons big time linebacker or safety coming out yeah. and moved down to linebacker
Clemson
yeah
Justin Simmons.
Now he obviously did fail for other reasons, but like, you're seeing more of those guys. USC had Taylor Mays was another guy who was in that kind of same vein who kind of played that in between, and he fizzled out for
also,
other reasons.
You're saying a lot of guys that were drafted really high.
Yeah, but also.
But haven't really worked out.
Guys that, for non-football reasons, yeah. didn't work out.
I think with Boettcher, it's interesting because he is an inside linebacker. He's an interior linebacker. He's only at 225 pounds. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more lead in your pencil to do that. And he is not quick enough to play in the back end of a defense now, especially with what we're seeing safeties do in yeah. the NFL now in coverage. So it would have to be very specific to where he's at.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, or you put 20 pounds on him and you say, all right, be that downhill
guy. Play at 240, yeah.
You know, but there could be a team that says, and look, we've seen this before. Guys make careers off of special teams. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who loves special teams. His thought process on special teams, which he's on almost all of them, is why wouldn't you? It's okay.
You get to play.
You're looking at a guy like Brendan Schooler in New England, mm-hmm. who, a former Oregon player, went to Arizona. They're saying he's going to be the next Slater in New England, like a guy who's going to be there for 15 years, be a special teams just dynamo. Like, maybe that is a path that he wants to go. But again, here's the tough spot. Brendan Schooler wasn't drafted in the 13th round of the Major League Baseball draft,
where you can get some guaranteed money that's in your pocket real quick.
It's crazy.
It's interesting because if he does, let's say he is a high-level special teams guy and he gets put on a team, drafted by a team that's like a 3-3-5 team, where he becomes a depth quasi tweener, you know, or a guy that can yep. get out there in situational football.
Third down, he'd be great to yeah. play linebacker on third down.
And that's what I kind of wonder, like, is that enough of a draw for him if he continues to have this kind of success this year?
Yeah.
I played against a guy in college by the name of Caden Ellis. He's now the starting linebacker with the Falcons. His first couple years in the NFL, because he's kind of built the same way as Bryce. He was a skinnier guy in college. Played middle backer, but then he also moved around, and he used his first 2 years to basically be on special teams while he bulked up yep. so that he could bulk up in the right way.
Season, baby!
That could be something that Bryce does as well. Also, I don't know this for a fact, but it's just something that I've created in my own dumb brain.
All right.
Bryce Boettcher is the fastest and best cover guy to ever wear a neck roll. No one has worn a neck roll at yeah. the middle linebacker position.
He wears the butterfly
and covered
collar.
Better mm-hmm. than Bryce Boettcher.
Yeah. That's an interesting move.
Vancouver Ford's text line says he needs to get rid of the neck roll. I disagree.
Disagree wholeheartedly.
Strong disagree. Yeah. If you can do both, baby.
Yeah, it's like until it negatively affects you, keep rocking
yes.
it. Yeah. Cuz it makes him look a lot bigger than 225.
Not only that, those butterfly collars are not like the cowboy collars that we grew up with.
Yeah.
Like that I could get my arms slightly above my head. The cowboy collar was very, very prohibitive on movement. The butterfly one, not nearly as much.
He's really damn good right yeah. now. And he fits Lanning system perfectly, too.
Because they can deploy him a million different ways.
Also, we've seen this with a lot of the guys at Georgia where, you know, I said this when Lanning was hired, and we haven't talked really much about it this season, but Dan Lanning is 53 and a third. with his linebackers, mm-hmm. guys that can cover from sideline to sideline. And Betcher does a phenomenal job of that. And look, being graded the highest impact linebacker in the country, it's not too bad. That's a good way to go. That's a really good way to go.
I like yeah. it.
What if he went actual neck roll, though? Like foam neck roll. Yeah. Not, get rid of the butterfly collar. You know where they used to attach it, like above the yeah. jersey,
oh,
too?
Yeah.
Maybe would that be better?
Bo rocked one.
No shirt underneath, jersey rolled up to about belly button.
Yeah. Yes. The Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Huh. Yeah.
That cowboy collar, or the old neck roll, used Heck to just yeah. flop all over the place.
Dang.
I was like, what is the point of that?
All right.
Him and I think Lyle Alzado was another one for there.
Boy, you have named a lot of steroid users in this segment.
Yeah.
Like just gone down this. Like,
look,
every name
Latimer,
that's come out of your mouth has
Latimer,
been a steroid guy.
Yeah. Guess what, man? Neck rolls, steroids. They go together.
Latimer never tested positive for steroids. I just want that out there. He was only assumed.
Look, I was a guy
assumed,
that
assumed. I seen the video of him in the bathroom stall, Will. Look.
Show me the positive test, Dusty.
Here, I'll give you one.
All right, true.
I took steroids and
me.
I wore a neck roll. Like, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, and that was just in everyday life. Danny was just doing that, walking down the street wearing a neck roll for protection. You never knew.
You never knew, man. You never knew. Terry Tate, man. He inspired a lot.
You never knew. All right, Pirates are scumbags next on The Fan.